wife thought it gave him an air of authority, but it evaporated whenever he smiled.
"Is she really coming out here?"
Marjorie asked drowsily. Staring up at the shadowed ceiling of their bedroom, Grant nodded. Then, realizing his wife couldn't see him in the darkness, he said, "She's on the passenger list. Her and a half dozen of her personal staff."
"Don't let it worry you," Marjorie advised sleepily. "She's probably coming out here to give you some kind of award. You deserve it."
Grant knew better. Marjorie turned over and went to sleep. But Grant could not close his eyes. Catherine Westfall is coming here. Herself, with her hatchet men. That's what they are, Grant knew. He'd looked them up in the nets. Since being named to the IAA's governing council, Westfall and her flunkies had ruthlessly slashed the organization's research budget. The teams exploring Mars depended now entirely on private money. They were even allowing tourists to visit the Martian village that they had excavated. The work on Venus was down to almost nothing as well. And now she's coming here. Turning on his side, Grant told himself, "They can't close us down. They can't. Those creatures are intelligent, I'm sure of it." His mind kept returning to the mission, the journey into that immense alien sea. 20 years ago, almost, yet he remembered every agonized moment of it. The surgical implants, the pain, the cold dread of being immersed in the high-pressure perfluorocarbon. Living in that slimy gunk, breathing it into his lungs instead of air. The rapture of being linked to the submersible's systems, feeling the power of the fusion drive as your own heartbeat, seeing through the dark, forbidding sea with eyes that went far beyond puny human capability. What was it Lane had said about being linked? Better than sex. It was, in a way. Beyond human. Godlike. It was dangerous feeling all that power. The sin of pride, hubris. They had nearly died in that deep, dark sea. But meeting the Leviathans had been worth all the pain, all the danger to body and soul. Seeing those incredible creatures, bigger than mountains, huge, immense, living deep in the Jovian ocean, lords of their world. The mission had nearly killed them all. Lane O'Hara had been seriously hurt. Zeb Muzorawa, kind, thoughtful, gifted Zeb, had almost died. Zeb had been Grant's mentor, his guide. Grant had been lucky to survive the mission, lucky to return to the world of humans. Not luck, he reminded himself. It wasn't luck. That Jovian creature helped us. It saw we were sinking, and it carried us on its back like a dolphin carrying a drowning man, up to where we could get our propulsion systems working again and get out of the ocean, back into orbit and to the station. They're intelligent. Those immense creatures are intelligent. Grant believed it with all his soul. The Leviathans are intelligent. They have to be. Grant glanced at his wife lying beside him. For several moments he listened to her breathing, deep and regular. Sound asleep. I wish I could sleep too. The memory of that mission haunted him. No humans had tried to penetrate Jupiter's ocean since then. The cost in human lives was too high. People had been killed. People had been permanently disabled. Grant himself still limped from the electronic implants that had been dug into his legs. Stem cell treatments, years of physical therapy and psychological counseling, yet still he limped. Psychosomatic, the medics told him. Yes, of course. But his legs still ached. Lane O'Hara had returned to Earth for recuperation. She never came back to Jupiter. Muzorawa spent months in recovery, and once he'd returned to Gold, he was named director of the research station. He immediately started planning a new mission into the ocean of Jupiter, but this time it would be robotic. Zeb would not send fragile humans into that alien environment. Not willingly. When Zeb retired and Grant succeeded him as station head, he continued that policy. Uncrewed vessels of increasing sophistication went into the Jovian ocean. To study the Leviathans, they had to go so deep that communication with the orbiting station was cut off. The scientists had to wait impatiently until the probes returned to find out what they had learned. Many probes never returned, and the scientists never learned why. Grant knew that there was only one way to save the work he directed, one way to continue studying the Leviathans. He had to prove beyond a doubt that the Jovian creatures were intelligent. And to do that, he had to send a human crew back into that cold, deep, alien sea. For years he had quietly, secretly, diverted funding from the research station's normal programs into a furtive effort to build a new submersible capable of carrying a human crew down to the depths where the Leviathans dwelled. Now Catherine Westfall was on her way to Jupiter to slash the funding jugular of the research station. Once she found out about the new submersible, she would have Grant's head on a platter. Maybe she already knows, he thought, and she's coming out here to preside at my execution personally. He lay on his back and stared sleeplessly into the shadows of his bedroom. I can't send people back down there, Grant told himself. It's too dangerous. I can't send people to risk their lives like that. How can I ask them to go where I can't go myself? But there's no other option. We've learned as much as we can from the automated probes. We've got to get a team of scientists down into that ocean with equipment that will allow us to make meaningful contact with the Leviathans. Or forget about them altogether. Give up trying to make contact with an intelligent alien race. He closed his eyes and muttered a prayer for guidance. No answer came to him, but Grant accepted God's seeming silence. He hears, Grant told himself. He'll send the answer, one way or another.
Fusion Torch Ship Australia.
What's so great about Earth?
Yeager asked, almost scowling.
I've lived there most of my life. It's no big thrill.
Before Deirdre could think of a reply, Corvus broke in.
I can see where Dee would be excited about it. If you've never been there before, well, it's big, and lots of it is still beautiful. The tropical rainforests. What's left of them?
Yeager groused. The open plains, the mountains, the oceans. They're beautiful. More beautiful than any space habitat, that's for sure. Yeager shrugged sourly.
And the cities, with the crowds and crooks, the noise, the dirt, the diseases.
Don't you like Earth, Max?
Deirdre asked. His expression softened.
Oh, I guess so. But it's not paradise, believe me.
I still want to see it, experience it, she said.
It's worth seeing, said Corvus with a soft smile. You'll love it.
Why are you going to Jupiter, Andy?
Deirdre asked. Corvus made a half-embarrassed grin, glanced at the cyborg, then looked back at her.
I'm going to make contact with those big critters in the ocean there.
Make contact with the Leviathans, Dorn said.
Bobbing his head up and down, Corvus said,
Yep, the Leviathans.
Make contact? Deirdre prodded. What do you mean?
Both hands fidgeting with his tall beer glass, Corvus replied,
You know what DBS is?
It's a sort of brain probe, isn't it?
She said.
Sort of, but it's more than that. A lot more.
Deep brain stimulation. It's a whole new field.
Didn't they try treating cases of depression that way?
Deirdre asked. Corvus waved a hand in the air.
It didn't really treat depression. It just tranquilized the patient so he didn't show any symptoms anymore. The zombie machine, Dorn muttered.
That's what some people call it, Corvus said, looking slightly nettled.
They used it on convicts in jail, kept them pacified, cut down on prison violence. A lot. But the suicide rate tripled.
Deirdre said, You seem to know a lot about it, Dorn. The human half of his face twitched into what might have been a grimace.
I've received an accelerated education on the subject.
How come?
Corvus asked. Flexing his prosthetic hand, Dorn replied,
I have been hired by the scientific directors of Station Gold as a sort of experimental animal.
They want to see how my body might be advantageous when it comes